Are you guys hearing anything? Because I've got nothing. All right. Well, we're going to go live in just a few seconds. And we have a little bit of a couple of problems with our audio right now. So I'm not hearing anything and I'm not seeing anything, but that doesn't mean that you guys aren't important. I know you're hearing me on Blog Talk Radio. So we will be going live with the rest of the program in just a few minutes.
And hello once again and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this next beautiful, fastest, excited 2 hours. And it is January the 21st of the year of our Lord, 2023. This is Sama Dakta with you from the state of Missouri. And with me tonight, wonderful two producer and the wonderful two co-host, Brother Paul from San Paul,
Rochester, New York.
My wife is going to Minnesota. Always going to Minnesota. I don't even know why. It's unbelievable, unbelievable. From San Cloud, what the name of the town?
Rochester, New York.
Rochester, New York. Not Rochester, Minnesota. Not San. Anything, Minnesota. Anyway, and Christy from us, also with us with, from the Mississippi. Where in Mississippi? Somewhere in Mississippi.
Somewhere.
Safety. Hello, guys. How are you? How's things going, Paul?
Enjoying a nice, busy week. Having some fun, getting things done, and working on a new project, which I'm kind of excited about. So we'll see where things go.
How about snow? You guys have any snow?
We had dust. That's all we've had. We had enough. We call it dust when it doesn't stick very long.
Yeah.
Oh, dusting, as opposed to real dust.
Well, it stuck for a few days, and then it rained, and it all went away.
Well, good to have you, Brother Paul. Sister Christy, how things going with you? And I want you to share with our audience about the celebration of the life of our dear sister, Sabella, our German friend, 96, I believe her age was, and she passed away a month ago almost. And today, just today, you guys celebrate her life. And I'm sorry that I was not able to come there. Today, it was a crazy day. And so that's why I could not come. I was in Mississippi, of course, you know, last week, but I could not go back.
It was too bad it didn't coordinate for you to be there. You know, I appreciated you having me to share some of your thoughts about Sabella. But
And I know you can serve it very good because you know me better than anybody else. Patricia know me good as well. But you and Sabella and I have some kind of connection there that I can talk on your behalf and you can talk.
Well, it was really wonderful to be there. And, of course, Patricia wanted me to tell you hello. She understood why you could not be there. But all of the family from Germany and her family from Ecuador were there. Dina was there and her daughter, Hilmer's daughter, was there. And we had a wonderful discussion. They were living in another state, so they were not as familiar with you, but her brother, was it Albert or Alfred?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was there and we talked and it was really a blessing to meet this family. The other person that was there was Stefan, and he's the one whose baby was born with his internal organs outside of his body. And because of their faith and their belief in not aborting this child, because the doctors would tell him, no, he'll never survive, he'll never be okay. And they pushed so hard for Stefan and his wife to abort this child. Do you remember this? And so this little boy, he now looks like he's about 8 years old. And I asked Stefan, I said, oh my gosh, I remember when your baby was born and how is he? And he whipped out his wallet and showed me a picture of this beautiful kid. And he said, he is doing wonderful. And this is just an example of the faith that this family had and their love and belief in life of the unborn. And it was a beautiful testimony just for him to show me that picture, because we were all praying for Stefan's baby. And they were saying, oh, no, you should have aborted this kid. And they were trying to get them to do an abortion before the baby was even born. So here's this beautiful young boy, 8 years old. And that was just one of the things that was like a miracle. Zabila's life was a miracle. All the way that she lived, and she delivered, like I said, about 1,000 babies. She had so many kids there, so many young children that she had delivered. And I don't know if you remember Misty, but Misty had a baby while you were there, and I was there, and Vicky and Caleb were there. And it was like, okay, we have to leave, get out, because where they were delivering the babies, we were in that that little cabin that had been built for that. And she was there. She came over and talked to me and asked about you. Also, Colleen was there. She asked about you. Colleen's still delivering babies, and she talked about how much Zabila had given her inspiration. And she has a young woman that works with her, and she talked about how Zabila just made her so excited to go through a home birth. People, a home birth isn't something everybody gets excited about, but she said, you know, I really was excited that, yeah. And so everything that was there, she was an outstanding political person. She was political. She was said her mind. She loved Jesus. She loved the Lord. She believed in God. And her faith brought her through a war-torn Germany after the war, after she lost her father and her brother to the war. And her father died in a Russian prison camp, but he had also been persecuted by the Nazis because he would not join the Nazi party. And so all of this extraordinary story and this extraordinary family were on display at that service, and it just was really touch your heart.
She will be missed, and it's a new chapter for the Pound generation to carry her baton and continue to do. Let's say in her house, which is in Mississippi, she had like two separate places for people to have babies, and a big tub, and they do it under the water. And there used to be another friend, she used to go there to deliver baby, and people had to come all the way from Louisiana to Mississippi because they did not allow childbirth at home for whatever reason.
It's Alabama.
Alabama.
But the law has changed now, so calling able to do that. But I have to, I just have to tell you, I spent all day at funerals today because we were there late for the funeral for Zabila Heinrich. It was a memorial service. And then on Frank TV, we watched the memorial service for Diamond. I hope some of the people that watch are familiar with Diamond and Silk. And Diamond passed away completely unexpectedly. It was very tragic for this family. But they had a memorial service for her today, and President Donald Trump attended. He was the one that put out the notice that she had died. She said he was the first one, basically, just about that she called, Silk had called him, and he said, I'm going to take care of everything. I will be there. And the family was there, and it was
great support of both of them, yeah.
Yeah, but so much about what was said was so similar. Roxanne and I were just looking at each other like, man, this is so amazing. These two women, they were like alike. Zabila, they had little cards for people to write down their favorite saying of Zabila. One of them that she used to say is, listen and obey. Listen and obey.
The Lord gave us two ears,
yes,
so we can listen twice, then we speak. You stop,
yes.
You speak too fast.
Yes.
Slow down, two ears.
And so all these things that she had to say, people had written on little cards, things they remembered that she said. Well, then President Trump is talking about things that Diamond had said that he remembered. It was like, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to have people remember you and your walk with the Lord and your faith in God and have that many people recall your words of faith and encouragement and wisdom. These ladies both had great wisdom, and I think we could all pray that we would be remembered in that same way, but it's a huge and high calling that's in Christ Jesus. And I just, it was awesome to see this, these services to women.
God is good, and we're glad to have her in our life, and we hope and we pray that we would do as much as we can to compete with her. But she lived 96 years old, so how we can do that? Anyway, Paul, what do you have in mind for our show tonight? I know you have some articles.
Well, I do want to point out we have an interesting question to start with, and it, I just want to share what was we don't usually get a question at the beginning of the show, but we did, and part of that is because you went and visited a church in White Dove, Harvey, Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
And this Christy Bordley asked, what do Muslims believe about end times, a return of Jesus and the end of the world and Antichrist, etc.? And she said, thank you.
Good question. Absolutely. We answered quickly. Well, Muslims believe that Christ, our Lord and our Savior, whom we call Isa in the Quran, he did not die on the cross. So obviously he lived a life. And since Allah the Quran said, well, that every soul says the death, they believe that Jesus will come back to die. But when he comes back, not as Christian believes, so when he talks about, oh, we believe Jesus is alive. Yes, indeed we believe. We believe he's coming back. Yes, we believe he's coming back. Listen how Muslims see how Jesus will come back. He will come back as a Muslim. Believe in Muhammad, following Sharia, Islamic law, and he will actually pray the 5-minute prayer, do the things of Islam. He will break the cross. When Muslims say break the cross, they mean he will get rid of Christianity. Christianity will be demolished completely. He will kill the pigs, which means he will wipe out the Jews. And he will have 4 wives, and he will be like a good Muhammad. Muhammad number 2, okay? Muhammad number 2. And that's when Jesus will die. They also believe in the Antichrist. But here's the catch now. In their belief, the Antichrist will have one eye. So one eye, the right eye is hooked out. That you know, you see people with a patch and probably the right. That's exactly. You have one eye. And that's the difference between Jesus, the real Jesus, and the fake Jesus or the Antichrist. Jesus will come back like he was, but the Antichrist will have one broken eye. And so much about end time in Islam come out of our books written by Christian theologians. And Muslims somehow read the books and they twist it, turn them around, and make the end of time. Because in reality, there's not one verse in the Quran.
Somehow read the books and they twist it, turn them around, and make
the end of time. Nothing in the Quran and talk about any one verse. What is going to be in the future? Muhammad or not to mention anything in prophetic way, because obviously he was not a prophet. And some of the things were written about Muhammad, prophecies in the Quran and stuff, they're actually a guess, a common sense, natural things you can think about, or 100% wrong. 100% wrong. We can talk about that just later, but I hope that will answer your question, Medusa.
Thank you. Christy, I hope you're listening and you heard the answer. I mean, you want to respond to that, that's great. I have a few interesting stories from the United States to start things off. And this one caught my eye. What bothers me the most about this article is where it's published. It's not in the United States. It's in India. So I saw this. There was a link for this off of Jihad Watch. And I'm going to throw this link in the chat room. And when you see the name, when you see the title of this article, it should throw everybody into turmoil. And let me just read this. It's just kind of mind-numbing. ISIS beetle Cody, who was serving life sentence for murder, disappears from U.S. prison. In 2014, ISIS member published videos depicting the beheadings of James Foley, Stephen Fatloff, and British citizens David Haynes and Alan Henney. And this article is written by Sina Zaini Majid. Think about this. A member of the notorious ISIS terror cell dubbed the Beatles, Alexander Cote, 39, who was serving life sentence for the kidnap, torture, and murder of foreign journalists and aid workers in Syria on Thursday, disappeared from the U.S. Federal Bureau of Prisons record. According to emerging reports on January 12th, also termed as the Jihadi George, the native of London was nowhere to be found on the custody records of Pennsylvania's high security Canaan prison as he mysteriously vanished.
Well, I tell you what, there's so much stuff happening in our prisons in America. Amazingly, as I was talking to a friend of mine last week, I believe he said they will help him to commit suicide. That's what he means, they help him to commit suicide. We're watching the Father God movie, you know, and then Father God movie, in the end of it, the guy, he told him about what he does, what he would do, and that's exactly what they did to him. They actually, you know, cut his throat in the top, in the best spot. So that's what, how he died. If you have seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. I said, how did it happen? He said, it's suicide help. And this, and that, and then he thought, that was, by the way, that was Muhammad Amin, my friend Muhammad Amin. And in the meantime, we're talking about that famous rich guy who has the island, which Clinton and many rich people went, and we have lots of little girls. And you know what I'm talking about? What's his name? The guy who was also committed to a fight in prison.
Jeffrey Epstein.
What?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeffrey, yeah. Jeffrey was also assisted suicide, which means they killed him. And if these liberal and these wicked would like to free a Muslim jihadi, and you will never find him, I will free help. Don't worry about that. We got our government with pure heart. They love the Muslims. They love the jihadi. Maybe they will just set him free for, you know, favor. Well, who knows? I mean, didn't Mr. Trump, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, free Gizmo prison? By all the hundreds of criminals we have there, in his 8 years, he just keeps 350, 75, 125, 15, another 50, another 125. And guess what? He created ISIS by these people. And until now, the media will not talk about it because a bunch of garbage and a bunch of liars. We have names of people who were in our prison. They came to America under Al-Qaeda, and when we send them back, they became ISIS. So who created ISIS? It was Mr. Barack Obama. No kidding. And yeah, whatever else he did in his 8 years in the White House. So, this is just my...
I actually wrote a piece about that as he was creating ISIS. Put a video up. I mean, it was actually written about in Germany, published that the U.S. was actually teaching the creators of ISIS during that time period when it was being created. And it was again documented by German news sources back then. And yeah, so you can find that information. It's just kind of mind numbing, some of this stuff. Yeah. To think that they can get away, again, this is supposed to be a U.S. prison and all of a sudden, I think the thing that bothers me the most...
thank you. This may be the most important speech I've ever made. I want to provide an update on our ongoing efforts to expose the tremendous voter fraud and irregularities which took place during the ridiculously long November...
Hey, hold on, I'm checking to see
okay.
if I have anything.
Excuse me.
I don't have anything.
It was me. I apologize. I was trying to...
We forgive you because of our day night.
I've done it before.
I went to an article, but when I moved the mouse, it started.
Yeah. I was just thinking that's exactly what I did.
When you have all these different windows open that you're operating, it's easy. It's like on your phone when you accidentally call somebody when you're in one person and you call the next person that you didn't even mean to.
Yeah.
It's like that.
All right, so my next article from the States also, I like Jihad Watch, but usually I go to the original articles, but this is an original article. Hamas linked pair contradicts its own Minnesota director. Professor showing pictures of Muhammad. This is by Larry Estevan, and it came out this morning. When Hamline University student Aram Wadatella was shown a 14th century painting of Muhammad receiving the Quran from the angel Gabriel during her art history class, she went to complain to the Hamas-linked CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Although adjunct Erica Lopez Prater repeatedly warned that she would show the picture, Ms. Wadatella hung around to be offended.
You know,
you
amazing, when we have Brother Muhammad Amin in our last show, he talked about that, and he assured us that the Shiite Muslims, which are millions of them, they're not like 50 people or 100,000 people, they're millions of them, okay? They have no problem to have the picture of Muhammad hang in their homes. Like Christian hangs a picture of Jesus, okay? They do the same thing. And no Muslim suddenly ever complain or go to war against the Shiites for hanging the picture of Muhammad. In reality, they hate each other and they kill each other. But I never heard one of the reasons why the Sunni would love to kill the Shia because they have a picture of Muhammad. It's time for the American people to stand up. If I want to draw a picture of an old man, I talked about it on the Cross Talk last week when I had my interview with Brother Jeff. And I said, think about it. It is not about not having a picture of Muhammad. It's about what is in the picture. Because first of all, we cannot draw a picture of Muhammad. There is no way the best cartoonist, I mean, you may have heard me say that before, Stanley Time, is 301. You cannot draw a cartoon from Muhammad. I don't care how skillful you are, and if you are the best cartoonist, okay? You can't. Why? Because you never know how Muhammad looked like. And I say again, how fat he was, how skinny he was, how short he was, how tall he was, what is the darkness of his skin? Does he have a beard? How big is the beard? Does he have a mustache? How big is the mustache? We know nothing about the man. Therefore, you cannot draw a picture of Muhammad. If we draw any picture of any person, an Arab, with the Arab clothes, with the Arab beard, and say, that's Muhammad, Muslims should laugh at this. How do you know? How do you know the size of his eyes and the big in his face? You can. You can draw a picture of Muhammad. But if I draw a picture of a man around 55 years old, and I draw a picture to a little girl next to him around 6 or 7 years old, 8 years old, all Muslims will be mad. Why? Because they know that it's Muhammad and this is Aisha. Without saying a word, without making an error, it is Muhammad, another error, he is Aisha. No, you don't. Muslims understand the wickedness of Muhammad, the child molester, the pedophile, Muhammad. That's it. That's it. But draw a picture of Muhammad, all the Shiites have a picture of Muhammad. And nobody complained about this. It's like burning the Quran. Oh, my word, Terry Jones. Burn the Quran. The whole world was going to go kill. Excuse me. Your Osman, your Khalifa Osman, your successor Osman did not burn a copy of the Quran. He burned the 7 original Qurans. And nobody complained. It was okay for Osman to do it, but to burn a copy in English? Whoa! That is because we allow the Muslims to rise up and to pretend to be that important, and the Quran is very important, and the Muhammad is very important. You know what? Next time, somebody complain about drawing of a picture of Muhammad, just tell him, write a statement on Muhammad. Pick up any of his sayings and repeat. And I promise you, Muslim will complain. Muhammad said, I've been commanded to kill people until they become a Muslim. Oh, they're going to complain. Why? That's not what Muhammad said. No, that's exactly what Muhammad said, you idiot. It's time for the West to know the real Muhammad, the true nature of Muhammad, the child molester Muhammad. And it doesn't matter. Draw any picture. You're not drawing a picture of somebody important. He's a wicked, evil, sinful man. And the Muslims need to know it before it's too late. Because if Muslims will not hear the truth from the people of the West, Christian or atheist, I don't care what you believe. I wish for all you to become a Christian. But if you're an atheist or you're a Christian, if you're a Jew or you're agnostic, tell the Muslims the truth about Muhammad. Educate yourself first. Take the knowledge from their own books and share it with the Muslims. If Muslims realize that people in the West know exactly who Muhammad was, they will never complain about drawing a stupid picture of him. They'll be ashamed of themselves to defend a child molester. But no, we allow them to complain, fire the teacher, kill the people, do this or that, revenge for Muhammad. Why? Because we believe in the West that Muhammad is a prophet. He's the messenger of Allah. He's the best of the best. No, he was a big, very wicked, sinful, evil man. Read your book, my dear Muslim friends. Investigate what I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, come to the show right now. And we'll share with you. This is your Muhammad. even in our study, this is program number 7 about Moses. What did Muhammad tell us about Moses is accurate? None. Zip. Everything he said about Moses is wrong. Everything he said about Joseph is wrong. Everything he said about Jonah is wrong. Everything he said about Noah is wrong. The whole entire Quran, the miracle of Muhammad, that book is an error. End of story. Question.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I was thinking about our German friend, Willa Heinrich, her service today, and you realize one of the things that Willa was very aware of, as was her brother, Hilmer von Kampe, is that the Muslims were aligned with Hitler and a part of the Nazis. And this is something people don't understand. It's like this was all working perfectly well for Muslims. That's why it's not a trick when they show the Nazis in different places now, but you see the Muslims saying Hitler was right or Hitler didn't finish the job. I mean, people need to know this. And that's why our friend Zabila was thinking it was so important for people to learn about Islam.
That's true, exactly. And the more we speak the truth about Muhammad, the less the Muslim will defend the Muhammad. How can they defend it? The problem is the West are ignorant of Islam, and the West are ignorant of Muhammad. That's why somebody was going to fire the teacher. Somebody will do whatever to appease the Muslims. No, don't appease them anymore. You upset about the picture? Let me tell you about it, Muhammad. Oh, please, just put the picture. The Muslim will change their mind. Okay, you can draw a cartoon. No big deal. No big deal. Why? Because I'm going to tell you more about your Muhammad. I will destroy your Muhammad by what your Muhammad said and by what your Muhammad did, according to your sources, not some Jew or Christian or atheist sources. All right, move on, Paul.
All right, Christy, do you have a story?
I do. I have several, actually. Tonight.
Go ahead.
Well, the first one may seem a little bit unrelated to Islam, but I think it's important for you to note that the tactics of the modern media has they've been schooled by Pollywood. You remember Pollywood, right, Usama? Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, it's Usama. You remember?
Yeah.
So what happened is in Germany, and this article, I want you to understand, I'm reading from the original sources. Please realize they're quoting other sources and things can't be changed just because I'm reading something does not mean it was the best way to put it. But this article you should never issue about, it's German police remove climate activist Greta Thunberg, sparking controversy. Okay, now what I want you to know about this is I literally saw the video film of when this arrest was taking place. She's been arrested two times in 3 days. So when this was taking place, here were the police officers, a cameraman with a video camera, and they were telling the police officers how to take a hold of her arms and saying, okay, no, this looks better. This looks better. She is smiling through the entire thing. And then you see the video that they showed on the news in Germany where she's being arrested. And this, I'm sorry, there's a word for it. It's a common understanding. It's a publicity stunt. This was all acted out, all planned, just to create this controversy that they are looking for about climate change. And Usama, these tactics, I believe, have infiltrated all of the Western media. It's like you can not even believe or trust anything that you're seeing that is put out by the mainstream media, not only in the United States, but also in Europe. And of course, we already know in the Muslim world.
I believe these people, that is their religion. That is their ideology. That's what they believe. None of the people believe in God. None of the people believe in Jesus. They believe in climate change. This is their religion. This is their goal. This is their outlook. They actually believe by that, that they are themselves God. because they can save the world. They can save this planet. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble. I mean,
the new claim out there that is why people are dropping dead is climate change.
That's a good excuse, right?
The reason people come into America is the millions climate change of votes. That is sick.
Yeah.
These people are simply sick. I think we should arrest them and throw them in some prison to save the earth. How about that?
Well, people have to understand that right now there are thousands of scientists who have signed on calling climate change a hoax on the world.
Yeah.
I mean, thousands of scientists who have signed on this.
But see, these scientists are Christian, man. You don't need a Christian science. You need an atheist science.
Oh, yeah, many of them are. Many of them are. They're all saying this is a scam.
Well, I just wanted to bring that point out because, you know, in Bollywood, they film attacks by Israel where the body on the gurney falls off and then he stands up and climbs back on. It's all faked. This has become a standard.
Hollywood. You know what we should play? Do you want me to share one of the videos of Hollywood?
Yeah. You need to see what they do. And that's the same thing that was being done with this arrest.
Yeah,
I watched it. I went, oh, my gosh. I know where they got this idea. Yeah.
Are you familiar with Bollywood, Paul?
Hollywood or Bollywood?
Hollywood. Not Hollywood.
Bollywood. I haven't heard the term before.
They're professional cameras from all over Europe. They're all a bunch of liberals. And they have, I'm not kidding you, thousands of people in the streets. Look like a war zone. And they're all drunk. They're all acting with cameras and ambulance, United Nations ambulance, and the soldiers, and the fight, and the bomb, and everything. It looked like a real war zone, and it's all drunk.
Yeah.
And you watch other people on CNN or MSNBC or only this liberal, you watch 10 seconds, like, man, I can't believe
it. It looks really bad. But then you don't see how it's being staged. It's crazy. But anyway, I had another article just real quickly, and you saw my, you'll be familiar with this. This was the Minnesota man ordered to remove Jesus Saves T-shirt or leave the shopping mall. This was a security guard at the Mall of America in Minnesota where this man was ordered. He had to remove his T-shirt. Yes.
Years ago, our friend Muhammad Amin, buddies from Iran, was there and with another, I believe, couple guys. Sharing the gospel with Muslims going to the mall.
Yeah.
Outside the mall. They got him arrested. They went to court. You cannot share the gospel with Muslims in the mall, a public place, for heaven's sake. You can have anything in that place. If you want to work as a prostitute, you can get a customer from there. If you want to work as whatever you want, sell drugs, you can do drugs outside the mall. But to share Jesus with people, So they arrested our friend. It's a trial of
yes.
So a couple years ago, they arrested the guy for sharing Jesus.
That's right.
Now, they asked people who were the share Jesus saved out. Because that's the same thing. Like share. I would say Muhammad is a prophet of Allah. Muhammad is the final message of Allah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There's no God except Allah. Muhammad message of Allah. And I challenge any garbage in Minnesota mall or any garbage in America to tell me take the shirt off. I would go anywhere. With a shirt about Muhammad. And I challenge one person to say, take the shirt off or leave. I promise you, it will never happen. It is the reality. We allow the Muslims to take over this country, and the fraud is about to be born.
Absolutely. One more thing I wanted to mention. This article came out on the 17th of January. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is warning the world that if the world abandons Israel, Netanyahu will bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. Now, I just want people to understand that the prophetic word of the end times does involve this abandoning of Israel and this coming together of Iranian forces and Russian forces and other Muslim countries coming together to invade Israel. So we know that God will protect Israel, but we also know that some of the things that are happening right now are very provocative to incite this kind of conflict.
I mean, think about it, Christy. Right now, Russia is using Iranian missile to attack the Ukrainians.
Yes.
So, I mean, they literally, it's made in Iran, used by Russia to attack the Ukrainians. The war in Ukraine is beyond what we hear on news.
That's right.
It's actually a jihad war. They're Muslim Syrian, they're Muslim Jordanian, they're Muslim Pakistani, they're Muslim Afghani, they're Muslim Iranian, are fighting with the Muslims of Russia in Ukraine. They're shouting Allahu Akbar. It's not just a war.
That's right.
They're killing people and kidnapping and raping women in Ukraine. And nobody talk about that. Because if you say, wait a minute, who shouts Allahu Akbar? It could be the Baptist, or it could be the Catholic, or it could be the Muslims. Oh, it's the Muslims who shout Allahu Akbar. So this is a war of jihad. It's Islamic war. And nobody talk about it. And guess what? If Israel will attack and bomb this nuclear bomb in Iran, for sure, that will lead to the final war. And we're going to see the end of time. And as I said before, you heard me, Chris, a million times. When we turn our back against Israel, that is when God turns his back against America.
Yes.
And America will go down just like that. If you think Biden destroys this country in his first 2 years, it would take nothing. Not even 2 weeks. It would be 2 days. God Almighty, hurricane, tornado, earthquake, fire, flood, name it. It will be all over America.
Well, look at what's happening in California, where they had the scripture verse underneath, if you need an abortion, come to California and we'll pay for it. And then they use a scripture verse to promote their abortion plan for America. And it's just disgusting. But have you noticed what's happening? I saw the governor of California looking a little bedraggled, very wet, and with a jacket on and his hair coming down because it's rain, rain, snow, snow. They are having serious problems. And, you know, I don't think it's an accident. I don't.
It's going to get even worse. It's going to get worse. Absolutely. Well, Christy, she came with one article after another. Man, she is on fire tonight. What is wrong with you, Paul?
I'm trying to do a couple different things. So I have one from France. Knife-wielding Muslim screaming, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar, man.
Several people in the copter trying to figure out the motive.
Good.
Let me see the motive. Are you ready? Muhammad. That is the motive, you idiot.
Come on. Didn't he just tell everybody his motive?
You know, if they have read the Quran, they found that Allah said, Kabiru. Kabiru is to shout Allahu Akbar. So why Muslims shout Allahu Akbar? Because Allah said, shout Allahu Akbar. But our stupid politicians and our stupid media in the West, I've never read the book. So obviously, they will search for the motive. Until the end of time. Go ahead.
How about this one? In Germany, Afghans attack funeral service and sexually harass elderly ladies. This I got off of medforth.biz, and I'm just going to share the link in the chat room. Trying to keep up with everything, but holy cow, it's hard. There's just so much news on this, and we will never touch it all. In Putinhaus in Bavaria, there has been robberies and harassment by Roma and Afghans. The mayor, therefore, wants to force the closure of the two migrant shelters. The community does not want to take in any more fake, barbarized, quote, war refugees. But in mid-December, there was an incident that was even more disturbing. Two young Afghans, who, according to Tyroler, were drunk off their bleep, and disrupted a funeral service in the village church. Older women were sexually harassed. Their clothes were pulled. One was even bitten in the ear. Fire Chief Tyroler's verdict was clear, albeit moderately delivered. From then on, it was over for good. When you are a guest, you should behave like a guest and not like an idiot. Tyroler points out that not all migrants behave like that, but the mood in the village changed from then on, he said. In addition, the village's voluntary helpers circle disbanded. Until recently, 25 in the village looked after refugees and migrants. But more and more gave up the unpaid work even before the incident. The village and the municipality to which it belongs have not been assisted by higher authorities. How often are you?
Did you wonder what is the motive, Brother Paul? What is the motive?
Well, you know, that's the point. Again, that's one of the reasons I picked that, because, you know, it sounds like they're confused.
What is the motive? Why? Quran 4:24. The motive is, this son is not Muhammad, I'm sorry. The motive is Allah. That is the motive. Between Allah and Muhammad, we need a lot of help in this world. Any other article, Paul?
And I, let's see. Yes, let's see here. And just pull this one up. This comes out of Kenya.
Okay.
A woman was killed and 8 were wounded in Al-Shabaab attack on PSV in Mandera. Let me just throw the link in the chat room so everybody can see this. I am not pulling things out of thin air.
Okay.
These are
Kenya
actual...
or Somalia?
Al-Shabaab, Somalia, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
But the article is based out of Kenya, okay. A woman was on Monday was killed and 8 others were injured after Al-Shabaab militants attacked a public service vehicle flying the Banisha Mandera Road, Mandera County. The vehicle had 12 occupants when the gunman attacked it, police and survivors said. Locals said the attack opened fire between Sarman and Ola. The rest of the passengers in the motor vehicle escaped with injuries. Local officials said they have been fighting terrorists in the area planning to launch attacks. The area is near the poorest area of Kenya-Somalia border, which is usually breached by terrorists. Police said the suspects of the attackers were targeting the four-wheel drive car. On Sunday, January 15th, a Somali-based terror group attempted to conduct a sectarian attack. Witnesses said that some of the passengers on board refused to cooperate with the attack on the vehicle, forcing the attackers to flee. Really? Are you going to cooperate with people who are...
You didn't read the last sentence, man. You forgot one sentence. And the authorities are still searching for the motive. That is Allah and Muhammad together.
This is Somalia and Kenya, so I think they know the motive.
The motive is Allah bless Muhammad in unity. All right. Anything else, Chris, you want to share?
No, but I think that there's just a lack of understanding of how much Christians are being persecuted. And again, I say this every week, please pray for the Christians who are in these countries watching our president. Well, he was called our president, O'Biden, just kowtowing to every enemy, every evil country and their leadership. And we're just, you know, we're setting up other Christians in other nations to be targeted.
Yeah.
Please pray.
Yeah. I was watching some of the clips of the attack, the savage, vicious attack of all the media in America against Mr. Trump, his connection with Russia and his connection with Ukraine and his connection with, I mean, literally what all what the liberals have been doing, they accuse Mr. Trump of doing, and everybody, we got them. And now we got all this mess. I mean, it is garbage, unbelievable. I know he protected this very important document by his Corvette, and I understand that. Don't take me wrong. If I have a Corvette, I will put all my important stuff next to it, okay? Outside of it in a box or something. But why is the media not covering it anymore? And to ask you, I think they found out that he cannot win. They saw the man is in his 80s. He lost his mind. He lost his state. He destroyed this country plenty enough. So they're going to find somebody, mother, someone in the middle a little bit. So they come down to America, because otherwise we're going to have revolution in America. So now they're making all that stuff about this document, and they're giving it to the FBI. It's like, I am catching myself here. I know that's your phone, Paul. That's your phone. So I said, FBI, here, take this phone, give it to Paul. It's like, I am telling Paul, and then you're an MSC. Why? For the purpose of me getting fired. I think this is all what it is. If these lawyers are really what you call loyal to Mr. O'Biden, they would have never given this one letter of the drop all this information to the FBI. that knows us on purpose. I bet you Mr. Violet is shocked in reality of he's gone. His history. He's not around 2024, and Verona is going to be winning, period. And I think that those that, for the hopes that they may use as a double-edged sword, they're going to use this document to hurt Mr. O'Biden that he could not win 2024, but at the same time, they're going to use the same information on Mr. Trump, and they will hurt him as well, so he cannot run 2024. I believe that's what it is. I have no idea that it's going to be like that. I mean, this is a brand new information. Last 2 weeks, like I'm sitting and watching. Why are they doing that? Because they don't want their man to run 24. And why are they doing that? Because they don't want Trump to run 24. That's exactly what's happening. And I bet you guys, and I bet you, say 50 cents, that's how much I have a quarter each pocket. So I bet you 50 cents, that's exactly what's going to happen. The result is...
I actually had just heard the same discussion a few days ago. It was actually on my show, and that was exactly what someone else actually said on the show.
I never heard him. I never heard him, but that's exactly what my gut told me. They're going to use this thing to get rid of O'Biden, and since O'Biden was guilty and he's gone, Trump is guilty and he's going to be gone as well.
Well, you know, I think there's some interesting developments that Trump is going to start having rallies again. And he will start his campaign. He did say this at the funeral today for Diamond. And it was received by the audience. You know, primarily this is a black audience, and they were very thrilled to hear that. They love Trump. And so I'm not sure how well this is going to play, but we have to wait and see, because the intervention of God is what we're really looking for. Kamala Harris as president, it seems to me like that would be like waving a red flag in front of the Muslim world, in front of China and everything else.
White flag with a leopard. What is
this? That's
exactly what she's going to do.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I've always said she acts like she's on drugs. I finally told someone else this when they were running for office. I said she cannot control her laughter because I think she's smoking too much pot. Somebody else was finally saying, yeah, I think she got a problem. So.
Marijuana. I got 3 or 4 of my friends that are believers in Christ right now, strong Christian, who used to do marijuana. It's in summer. When I take marijuana, I used to do a lot of marijuana. It relaxes me, and I can laugh and be happy all the time. He said, when I see her laughing, I see myself in her when I used to do marijuana.
Well,
marijuana.
Being a drug counselor, I kind of recognize that, too. I see that a lot.
Well, you know, if you're part of the Democratic Party and you want to legalize this stuff no matter where you are,
of course.
I mean, is it a surprise that that might be the new smell inside the White House?
Well, it would not surprise me at all. And I also have concerns because people are being led to believe that marijuana is harmless. Now, that is completely a lie. Now, why is it that they would want the American people to be led into the use of this particular drug? It is a drug, you know, and hey, let's be honest, it has helped some people with certain types of problems, especially CBD oil, but they're not talking about the THC that is in marijuana when you smoke it, and this is an entirely different thing. So you don't have very good studies on this, and I, for one, cannot understand why all this push to legalize marijuana to be used and smoked when we just got rid of tobacco as a major health problem in America. And I promise you, marijuana smoke is not any better for your lungs. In fact, it's worse.
Yeah, and they've got the studies are out. They now have the studies out saying it's far more cancerous and
dangerous. Who did not know that?
Marijuana is number one. Heroin is number two. Cocaine is number three. Check out Europe. it is coming to a city near you. This started in Europe 25, 30 years ago. When I was in Germany 30 years ago, they were doing marijuana legal, okay, in different places in Sweden and Denmark and in Germany. And then it moved from marijuana to heroin, cocaine, everything. Right now, some places in Europe, there's nothing is illegal. Nothing is illegal. Everything. So you have to start somewhere, Chrissy.
Well, you see, this is what people always lied about, that marijuana use didn't lead to the use of other drugs. Now, not every person that smoked marijuana has been using other drugs since then. However, I lived in Oregon where we had, there was a decriminalization of marijuana years ago. And I am telling you, there were more insane, goofy, idiotic people in that area than I've ever been in. I mean, people who literally 24 hours a day were smoking this stuff, and they were not okay. You know, they weren't normal. And then the huge invasion of the methamphetamine trade followed this marijuana decriminalization. And meth wasn't decriminalized, but it was a huge, huge problem when I was there. And that's when I started working with the drug and alcohol treatment program to deal with people. And yeah, they all smoked marijuana first.
How long ago?
How long ago? I was in the early 80s. I think it was 84, 85.
Yeah. Last time when I was in Oregon last year, I can smell it all over the street. I mean, there's not one place. I don't know. And he sees this big circle building. I said, what is that? Oh, that's how they plant grown marijuana. It is almost every house in Oregon who have an acre, 5 acres, 10 acres. It is manufactured marijuana.
And you know what's crazy? They talk about, okay, we're going to make it legal. And I said, by prescription. Now, you see, you get a prescription for it. And I said, if you're getting a prescription for it, why do you have to go to a marijuana store to get it? Why isn't the pharmacist selling it? Why can't you go to the pharmacist and get it? Because it is business. And this is business that I hate to tell you, many politicians have invested in because they know the addictive quality factors of marijuana is not physical, it is psychological. And guess what? Psychological addiction is real. And so you go and you it's like a business, and they're bragging about how they're going to bring in tax dollars. But I got news for you. When you have it legal for recreational use or medical use, and you put it out there, who is going to benefit from it? The people who traffic it illegally, because they can't tell any difference. Once you have it, it's like, oh, wow, well, see, I have a prescription. And they buy it off the street because it's cheaper.
Yep.
They're actually selling, in New York State, they legalized it. And they're actually, and one of the things that I've heard talked about with the local police is that it's actually being sold. Since they legalized it, they're having higher sales, what they would call illegal trafficking.
Just what I was saying. Yes.
Nothing changes. This is the reality of the fall down of America, which is coming very soon to this land.
Pray, folks.
Let's take a quick break from the fall. Take us to a break, if you don't mind. And when we come from our break, Lord willing, we're going to spend the next hour continuing with our study. What does the Quran say about Moses? And that is obviously part 7.
Folks, we do not have the audio available. I'm going to try to get it for you. One moment, please.
Over and over, Allah states through his prophet in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to... But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth of God? Subject as the creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
8 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the error of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translator who translated the Quran to the English language hides many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spent several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completion, we then began production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called Prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copies and case pricing is available.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this wonderful Saturday night, a little bit crispy here in Missouri. And it is, once again, the 21st of January of the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is part 7 from our series study on Moses, which is, by the way, chapter 16 in volume 1 of Exposing the Truth About the Quran, the Revelation of Error. Now, Brother Paul, it's a little bit small. Can you make it a little bit bigger? Any chance you can make it bigger? I mean, I can see it. That's okay. But I see a mass of white beige. All right.
Oh, it's because of the...
That's okay. We're here in the second plague. So let me remind you, first of all, when Muhammad mentioned the plagues in Egypt, he did not call it plagues. He called it a miracle or sign, ayah. The ayah could be a miracle or a sign, or a verse, actually. We cannot think of it. Okay. So what Muhammad was doing in the Quran is destroying the story of Moses as he comes to the Bible and fabricate information added to the Quran. So he said that Allah sent Moses with seven miracles. And the purpose of this miracle was to lead Pharaoh to Islam, to lead Pharaoh to believe in Allah. That's exactly why Allah sent Moses to Egypt. No, that was wrong. There was no any intention from God in the Bible to lead Pharaoh to believe in him. The whole purpose, the whole mission of the prophet Moses was to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. As we're going to continue to read the study, you found out that Allah in the Quran is actually telling us that the Hebrews and Moses inherited the land of Egypt. No, they did not inherit the land of Egypt. The whole purpose of the mission of Moses is to get the Hebrew out of Egypt to the promised land. Why Muhammad got in this confusion? Because Muhammad did not read what is written in Genesis 15. He actually called that land by Moses, or through Moses, the Holy Land, because that's what Muhammad knew about that land in his mind. When he sees the Christians and the Jewish going to Israel, where are you going? We're going to the Holy Land. Where are you coming from? We just came from the Holy Land. So Muhammad thought that land is called the Holy Land. No, it is not the Holy Land. It is the Promised Land. Where we learn about that? Genesis 15. When God promised Abraham that the land will be given to his descendants. Wait a minute, Abraham did not have a son. The old man married a wrong wife. But that was the promise of God, that your descendants would be going to a foreign land. They will be enslaved there for 400 years. But then I will bring them out of that land to the land of Israel, the promised land. That is the promise God gave to Abraham. Now, Muhammad does not understand this. He missed the chapter. Like he always, if he missed a portion of from the Bible, when he copied the Bible to the Quran, then you get to a mess. Now, he mentioned seven. He mentioned actually nine. But he never gave us the nine. As we go to Quran chapter 7, we just saw that, he actually mentioned the first one is the flood. Excuse me, what? The flood? Tufan? I thought that was in Noah's day. And God could not repeat it in Moses' days because God said in the Bible, he will not do that again. He will not flood the earth again. So, that's the first. Now, less of fruit, Quran chapter 7, verse 150, 151. Less of fruit. What do you mean less of fruit? Oh, well, you can figure it out. The locust ate the fruit. And then they have no fruit. No, but it says less of fruit for years. No, that's a mistake, Muhammad. The entire time when Moses went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said no, Moses went back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said no, and one plague after another, and the thing was gone, it's all few weeks, if not few days. It could be less than a month. We don't know how time it exactly. But if one of the curse, or one of the plague on Egypt was less of food for years, that means Moses was still in Egypt for like 20, some years. That's one of them, which is obviously the locust. So what Muhammad mentioned, the locust and the lice and the frog and the list of fruit and the flood. Well, I'm sorry. That's not what the scripture said. And even if Muhammad mentioned all 10, how can I understand the Quran? As I always say to my dear Christian and my dear Jewish, when you read the Quran, take the Bible teaching out of your head. Do not read into the Quran by what you believe written in the Bible, because then you're going to make the Quran have some value or some importance. Why? Because when it says frog, okay, what happened to the frog? I mean, did the Egyptian enjoy having the frog to kill it and eat frog legs, which tastes like chicken? One of the best things I love to eat when I go to Chinese restaurant is to eat frog legs. And the bigger the frog legs, the more sweet the meat. The small, it's a little sweet. I don't like big frog legs, fried frog legs, delicious chicken. Locust, what's wrong with locust? When Muhammad mentioned the Quran and the locust, what the locust did? We know nothing. John the Baptist ate locust and honey. Maybe the Egyptians loved to eat locust and honey. So where is the punishment? When he mentioned these words, here, there, and you have no clue. There is, I'm sorry, that does not make any sense. Now, we're right now in the second leg, according to the Bible. We're not reading Quran now. We're reading Exodus, which means this is exactly what happened in the Bible. Yes, Muhammad said frog, but he tell us nothing about the frog. Let us read together, Christians and leaders from the Bible, to learn what about the frog. Okay, go ahead.
This is Exodus 8, verses 2 through 6. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt.
You understand now? It's not just the frogs. What about the frogs? There were 50 of them or a couple hundred, maybe 1,000. They were inside Pharaoh's house or maybe in the backyard somewhere by some river. No, we're talking about a chaos. The lady's cooking the bread and the frog is inside the bread. When they open the door frog, I mean, the bed frog, everyday frog, we're not talking about 50 frogs or 50,000. We're talking about millions of frogs. Yeah. Now it's a problem. No. Muhammad says, and the frog. What about the frog? Muslims can't. There is no way a scholar of Islam, if it can see Al-Tabri or Tabri Jalal or whatever his name you choose, can tell me what does Allah mean by the frog. Was it green frog, yellow frog, brown frog, small frog, big frog, 50 frogs, 50,000, 50 million? What is a frog? You have to read what we just read in the Bible, Exodus, to understand what is a frog. It's a big, huge problem. Okay? Now, go ahead, Paul.
You want me to
continue?
Oh, sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
I thought this was going to use the, okay.
The land was filled with them so that they became objects of loathing. The frog-headed goddess, Herut, played a part in creation. Hers was one of the oldest fertility cults in Egypt. She could not control the fertility of these frogs, though this plague became a stench to the Egyptians.
Now, notice now, God did not just make up a frog because he just wanted to make the Allah miserable. No, this is one of the gods worship. It is something we brag about, and God turned it from a blessing to a curse, because the reality is there is no God is called frog or any god by any other name except one God, the Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of the Bible. So that is how we look at that flag from a biblical understanding, not from Muhammad understanding, because one thing is, all Muhammad said, the frog. Now, next one.
The part on three to explain the words, should I read that too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Gnats or lice is number three. Some English editions of Scripture translate the Hebrew word as kinam, as gnats. However, the root of this word implies a fastening insect. Strong's Concordance lists this alternatively as lice.
Okay. So if you see it gnats or you see it lice, it's just how they come up with two different interpretations of the Hebrew word kinam.
So now Exodus 8:16-17. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt.
Once again, when Muhammad in the Quran said lice, what in the world does he mean by lice? We found out, obviously, there is no tufan, there's no plot. He was wrong. List of fruit, he did not understand the Lucas did it, but somehow he just put words, and you have to fill in the sentences, which is obviously what we read in the Exodus. Go ahead.
This plague was a direct affront to Thoth, at one time considered god of magic. Moreover, the Egyptian magicians, who were held in great awe, were unable to duplicate this plague. Helpless in the face of this challenge, they attributed the plague to the finger of God in Exodus 8:19, and they withdrew.
So powerful. You have to understand. Sometime, like in the early miracle, when Moses throws the rod on the earth and become a snake, well, the Pharaoh said, okay, my magicians, can you do it? Yes, sure, we can. They throw the rod and became a snake. Obviously, Aaron's rod, Moses' rod, was thrown by Aaron, swallow or devour all these snakes and ate them. Well, that hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, he still has some power in the land. His magicians can do this. We went to the second one, which is the frog. Well, we went to the mice. They could not do it. The Bible was very clear. They told Pharaoh, this is the fingers of God. This is not a magic. This is a way ahead of us, above us. power beyond our understanding. We could not do that. Right?
Praise God. Okay. Number four, flies or swarms. Exodus 8:21. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send the swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand.
Can you, if you don't mind, read the list?
Yes. Flies or swarms. The more literal translation of the Hebrew word arad is swarms, although there is a general agreement that the plague consisted of stinging flies coming in a swarm.
I remember it very well. One time I was sweating, and one of them nice big-sized flies sat on my back, and my back hit here, and I'm not kidding you. And it bit me so bad, I could not believe it. It was so painful. And I hit my head like that, and I moved it out, and it's still alive. Big fly. It was not a, I thought it was a bee or something. It was a fly.
We have, in New York State, we have flies that bite you. Up in the Adirondacks, so it's not an unusual thing to us here in New York State to understand that flies bite and leave a painful bite. I don't know about other areas of the country or other places, but here, if you're up in the mountains, yeah, when the flies land on you, they're biting, and that's
But Paul, we're not talking about one fly.
Oh no!
The whole air is loaded with flies. First of all, Muhammad did not mention it. He did not know anything about it, okay? That's one of the missing information which Muhammad did not tell. That's okay. But we're not talking about just few flies in the house. This fly is all over the face of the earth. God help us. That is like a killer, okay? All right, Kirsty, keep going.
Although it is not clear which insect the Hebrew word arab refers to, this plague may have been against Khepri, a scarab-headed god regarded as a manifestation of Atum or Ra. It was supposed to be the god of resurrection, perhaps because the dung ball it rolled around and in, which laid its eggs, produced a new creation. Priests wore scarabs as charms. Yes, I knew about that.
Another good explanation to why God had chosen this flag.
Because they had that. I could never understand that when I was a kid and I went and saw all these things from Egypt and they talked about the scarab and you're thinking, why would they like a bug like that? But
I never got that either. It doesn't make any sense.
But now you understand. It was the eternal life or the new creation or whatever. Yeah. So Lord help us. Number five, livestock diseased pestilence. Exodus 9:3.
By the way, Muhammad did not mention that in the Quran.
Yeah, no. Exodus 9:3. Behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence.
But now to understand now, this is not the animals they have in their barn or in their homes. But obviously, at the time, they used to have animals in the home. These are the animals of the field. So otherwise, we would think, oh, there's a contradiction. If they were really killed, how can we have more animals up in there?
Come back here. Okay. Moran or anthrax. Exodus 9:1-7. This judgment was against the bull god, which appeared in Egyptian writings as far back as the first dynasty, and the sacred cattle of Hathor, the god-headed love goddess. It was a special reproach to Pharaoh, who worshipped Hathor, whose name means House of Horus. Other gods associated with cattle were Phtah, and Ammon. Great cemeteries of embalmed cattle have been excavated. The symbol of the bull was the symbol of Pharaoh himself. In the hymn to Ammon, it is difficult to distinguish the Pharaoh from the bull. The title is Adoration of Ammon-Ra, Bull of Helopolis, Chief of the Gods, the God, the Good God, the Beloved, who giveth life to all that is warm and to every good herd.
I don't know if you guys have seen any of our Egyptian gods, and yes, many of them they have the head of a cow. And by the way, a little bit later, when the children of Israel ask Aaron to make them a god, guess what? They make us the same god.
Yes.
The cow, the golden cow.
Yes.
But once again, that that flag was not mentioned according to the teaching of the Quran. Muhammad, he says 9, and then he's supposed to give the 7. And then obviously the white hand and the rod which turned the snake, that was not a black on the Egyptian. That was Moses performed before his people. Remember in the beginning when we started studying, they said,
yeah.
Moses said, well, if you tell me, that if I tell them I met with the God of Israel, what is your name? So I said, well, my name is Ahia, which is I am, okay? What if you don't believe me? And that gave Moses 3 things to do. The rod will turn to snake. His hand will be white like leprosy without any harm. And then he said, if you don't believe this too, then we'll have one more. The water turned to blood. That is the only thing Moses performed before his people to make them believe that he was sent by God. And they believed him. Now, all these blacks was Moses became the God to Aaron who became his prophet. So Moses said, do it. And he does it. Not Moses is a God. He became like God. So he is the one who tells Aaron to do, and Aaron says and does exactly what he said. Because obviously, as we know from the scripture, Moses told God, I cannot talk. I have a problem with him. It's okay. He said, send Aaron. So he sent Aaron. No, Aaron was speaking on the behalf of Pharaoh, but he was performing all these miracles using the rod of Moses. So obviously, Muhammad has some ideas. Don't take me wrong. He's not giving us a brand new Moses. The Moses of Muhammad is similar to that which is in the Quran. The problem is, you're talking about years of traveling on the caravan. You did not have internet. You did not have iPhone or anything like that. So during the trip, you'll be studying these slides back in. Talk to each other, okay? And then at camp at night, they sit down and start a fire and they start eating food. And they, what do? They talk. The moon shines, the stars rise, and they talk. So when Muhammad heard this, Moses. Prophet Moses did. Prophet Moses, oh, 10 blacks. Oh, tell me about it. So Muhammad has the story. He could not remember 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later.
Yeah.
So he did the best that he can. Make it as the Quran, the miracle of Islam. Missing so much information. God help us. If that's an F.A. given to a professor in a college level, Muhammad will get a big fat F. You're a teacher.
Yes.
Imagine.
For how poorly it's written, F is a high grade. It would be closer to what the system actually grades the current school system that they have, like your electronic grading system. When you get below an F, which would be an F would be around a grade 50, you get a C.
And that is a miracle. Yeah, but that is a miracle of Islam, the miracle of Muhammad, that's what we're reading. All right,
Six, boils. Exodus 9:8-10. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourself handfuls of ashes from a furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils to break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before, I'm assuming it's Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven. And they cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast.
Because here it is what a Muslim would say, or a skeptic would say. Well, if all the peas die, how can he have peas to have the source to grow in it? Oh, no, 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 no. The peas, which we have the first flex, it is the one which is in the field. So there's still more peas, obviously, exist from the land. Go ahead.
Boils, Exodus 9 through to Exodus 9, 8 through 12. This plague was against the god of healing, Imhotep, an outstanding nobleman of the Old Kingdom, believed to be the founder of ancient Egyptian medicine, who came to be considered a god and descendant of a god, although not actually deified until later than the time of Exodus. He was highly revered at this time, but he could do nothing to help the Egyptians.
So our doctors, whom we actually call to be God, could not give us the help. Because once again, these are the work of the finger of God. God is the one who does that. It's not a magic. It's not a magic. Okay? Next one. And by the way, the spoils here was not mentioned in the Quran. Muhammad forgot.
Number 7, thunder and hail.
And this number 7 is not also mentioned in the Quran.
Exodus 9:18. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Exodus 9, 22 through 24. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt, so that there was hail and fire mingled with hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in the land of Egypt since it became a nation.
Imagine with me, I believe this is the only two times where the Egyptians see hail or snow. Because just, 18 years ago, I don't remember exactly the date, that is the first time the Egyptian people went out their homes in the morning and they saw this white stuff in the air. They didn't even have a word for it. We call it ice. Here we call it snow. We don't have, the word snow does not have another word for it in the Coptic or in the Arabic thing.
Wow.
So imagine with me. But this is not just ice. This ice and fire.
Yeah.
This is a serious plague. Muhammad talked about plagues as if they're just miracles or some sign. A sign from God. No, no, no. It is a judgment of God, punishment of God. That's exactly what God said to Abraham in Genesis 15. Do you have the Bible next to Christy? Genesis 15?
No, I don't have it where I can grab it.
Paul, do you have a Bible next to you?
Yeah, I just checked. Genesis 15?
Yes.
Exodus 15.
Exodus 15.
Exodus 15.
No. Genesis 15.
Okay.
That's what you said.
Let's
okay.
Let's get it right.
Let's go to verse 13.
Okay, verse 13. Mm-hmm. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that the seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
14.
And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance.
You see, this has to be fulfilled. When God make a commitment, when God made an order, when God made a promise, when God gave a prophecy, it must be fulfilled. So these are not just a little bit, you know, the kids got sun, blaze, the ice. No, it was ice and fire. None like it. All right. Go ahead. So a little bit about
okay.
Hail
in Exodus 9:13-26, the sky goddess Nut was the mother of the sun god Ra, whom she swallowed in the evening and gave birth to again in the morning. She was
You think it's a comedy, you know?
It sounds
it's Egyptian
crazy.
History, it's Egyptian ideology, it's Egyptian mythology, whatever you want to call it, but that's what my ancestors did, okay?
She was especially culpable in this plague in that she was supposed to protect the land from destructions which came down from heaven. Exodus 9:31 mentions that the flax and the barley were hit by the hail. Destruction of the flax was trying because it was used to wrap mummies and to make clothes.
Now you have to understand now that this is also another plague, another punishment for another god we use.
Yeah.
To worship. If the god cannot protect you at the time of crisis, then that is a good, that's not a god.
Yeah, that's happened to all of them.
Sure.
All of them so far are failing.
Yeah. All right.
The failure gods.
Now we got to what Muhammad mentioned in the Quran. And what did Muhammad say? And the locust. That's it. That's it. Anything about this?
We're going to learn the truth.
Yeah.
Now, here's the story for Muhammad and for Muhammad. Go ahead.
Number 8 is locust. Exodus 10:4-5. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field.
Do you know how locusts work, Paul? When Lucas
they
go to a community,
they
ate every green leaf from every tree, especially if you have the right amount, as it was in the case of Moses and Pharaoh. Go ahead.
Grasshoppers or locusts?
All right.
Come back. Exodus 10:1-20. The locust-headed god was Senehem. I'm sorry. Can you bring it down?
Oh, no,
I can't see.
Here.
Yeah, thank you. During the plague, the locusts were so thick that the eye of the earth was darkened, Exodus 10:5. One of the epithets of the sun god Ra was the eye of Ra. By causing darkness while the sun was shining, Ra was discredited.
Can you imagine? It was so thick. The locusts was so thick that became dark. You know when you have a cloudy day and a heavy cloudy day and you get this, man, it's almost like night at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It looked like 7, 8 o'clock in the evening. It was the same thing with the locusts. Kiss our God, the eye of the Ra, goodbye. Because the sun could not shine in the middle of the day because of the amount of locusts, which destroyed each. Literally, they ate that whatever lived over from the eyes that the scripture said is all gone. Now Egypt is like a good desert. Now Egypt looks like Saudi Arabia with Muhammad there.
Wow.
Number nine.
Darkness. Then the Lord said, Exodus 10:21-22. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days.
Can you imagine, wake up in the middle of the day, in the evening, in the following day, in the evening, 3 days, you don't see any daytime. It's all dark, dark, dark. 72 hours of night.
Wow.
I think the scary part here, I mean, this is really fearful, that this darkness can be felt. I mean, that would strike fear in the heart of most people.
There's no electricity, by the way. There was no... There's no power there. And I would encourage my dear viewers, the one who watches us or the audience, please go back to the book of Exodus and read the details, because right now in my book, I thought I don't have to write the whole Bible in my book. I just picked up. But notice that some of these plagues were only on the Egyptians. They were not on the Hebrew. So somehow they live in the land of Goshen, and they were set free from these plagues, which means that's the mighty hand of God. But what is happening, it's happening in the land of Egypt, but it is not happening in the land of Israel, which means what? It's not coincidence. It is coincidence what fits the whole country. The Jew and the Hebrew will be the same. No, it's not the same. So I challenge you and I encourage you, especially our dear Mormon friends, go to the Exodus account and read the 10 plagues in detail. God told Moses, go to Pharaoh. He went to Pharaoh, knock at the door. Door coming in, not like in the Quran. They were knocking for 2 years. Remember the Quran, 2 years, knock at the door. And Pharaoh got hit. They get these people out of here. And they, okay, let them come in. What do you want? No, we didn't have this fairy tale of Muhammad. They go to Pharaoh, they meet with Pharaoh, let my people go. No, I'm not going to go. Okay, tomorrow I will do this. Sometime Moses will set the time. If what is happening? And when he went, okay, Pharaoh, cry out to Moses, come. Yeah. He said, okay, I'll let you go. It's okay. By this hour, I will remove it. So this evidence is not coincidence. It does not happen by luck. Moses tell him what is going to come, and it's come. And Moses tell him, where is he gone? And he's gone. And it happened to the land of the Egyptians. It did not happen in the land of the Hebrew, the land of Goshen. This is not by luck.
Right.
Coincidentally, it is God's plan. So here we give you just a few verses here that I don't need to write the whole book, Exodus, in my book. Get to the Bible, it's available online, and you can read the entire account. What happened in detail? Okay, go ahead.
Darkness, that's from Exodus 10, 21 through 27. The Bible says that a three-day darkness fell next. One of the greatest gods of Egypt, next to Pharaoh, was the sun. The sun god Ra was the principal deity of the pantheon. He made all growth possible. Pharaoh called himself the son of the sun. With 3 days of darkness, this principal deity was ridiculed.
Goodbye, Ra. If Moses can make it dark and Ra cannot bring the sun back to Egypt,
yeah,
as Moses said exactly, next 3 days. That means there's no power for our God. Our God will demolish one after one, and shows the true mighty hand of the true God, the only God, Yahweh. All right? Now, let's move on to the last plague. And obviously, this last one here, the darkness not mentioned in the Quran, and the death of the firstborn was not mentioned in the Quran. And I believe on purpose, Muhammad did not put number 10 here in the Quran, because if he had mentioned it, then you can kiss Islam goodbye.
Yeah.
Because now we see the power of the blood. Muhammad talked in the Quran about the blood. No? I have to go back to the Quran. Let's make sure. I don't think Muhammad mentioned the blood. That's not the right book. I need the right book. Where is my right book? I need to make sure. Did we talk about the blood of all guys? Can you remember it? From the Quran?
I thought something was said about the blood, but I can't tell you for sure.
I think he mentioned the blood, but I don't think it's...
He didn't say anything about it.
What? I'm going to tell you where you need to go. Go to Exodus. Not Exodus. Go to Quran chapter 7.
Okay.
And read 131, close to 131, 132, close to it.
131?
I believe it was in this area. I don't have my glasses. I cannot see. But,
okay, I think we're on 133.
Okay, what is it?
So we sent on them the tufan, and the locusts, and the lice, and the frogs, and the blood.
Okay, the blood was mentioned. All right.
Yeah.
Now, the blood is talking about, which is changing the water to blood. But obviously, Muhammad, even with the blood, what is the blood? Was people running blood from the nose? Was it crying blood? Was blood coming from ears? I mean, what is the blood? Muhammad mentioned just his name without giving it in detail. Now we're going to talk about the blood of the sacrifice, lamb, the Passover, the picture, the perfect picture of God's love and God's salvation to mankind. When Jesus came to this world in the flesh, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who will carry away the sin of the world. Well, you cannot understand crucifixion in the New Testament, salvation in the New Testament, unless you have to understand that one here, the Passover. And guess what? When Jesus was killed?
Passover.
Perfect timing. Because that is the fulfillment of the 10 plagues. And Muhammad did not have a clue what it is. And if you know it, he never mentioned it because he does not want Muslims to believe that there is salvation. Even though he made a mistake. When we study in the future the story of Abraham in the Quran, you find that Abraham offered a lamb as a sacrifice, and Allah said, we redeem him, his son, which is Isaac, by the way, in the Quran, Isaac, with a great sacrifice. So redemption is mentioned in that one verse. And Muslims have a hard time to understand it there because obviously they don't see with the eye the spiritual truth which we believe with the power of the Holy Spirit. They read the verse with their eyes, they have no idea what it is. What is redeeming with a great sacrifice? Let's talk about this last plague, which is actually the, the ashes which break the camel back. That is when Pharaoh obviously let them go. He did not see. After the man black, he told Moses, you're not going to see my face anymore. And Moses said, yes, indeed. I'm not going to see you again. He saw him dead after the crossing of the Red Sea. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Number 10, death of the firstborn. Exodus 11, 4 through 5. Then Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all of the firstborn of the animals. Death of the firstborn. After the ninth plague, Pharaoh, under the pressure from his advisors, now consented to the request made to let the people go, but he insisted that they must leave their animals behind. This was totally unacceptable offer, as the animals were to be used as the actual sacrifice to the Lord. Moses had to refuse these terms and said in Exodus 10:20, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. Enraged by the refusal, Pharaoh pronounced the last deadly plague to be unleashed upon the land from his own lips, as he warns Moses in Exodus 10:28. Get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in that day you see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again.
I love the challenge here. Oh, trust me, I'm not gonna look at your face again. All right, keep going.
At this point, the passive obedience of the children of Israel have shown is now moved to a level of active obedience. They are given strict instructions to follow, so that they would not also feel the judgment of the last plague sent by the Lord. These instructions provided the Israelites the protection of the Lord on this deadly night, for in all the houses of Egypt, of both the Israelites and the Egyptians, if they did not offer a sacrifice and put its blood on the two doorposts and on the lintel of their doors, the angel of the Lord would strike dead every firstborn human and animal in the land. These instructions are of eternal significance. Jesus serves as a sacrifice for Christians, with his blood providing the ultimate salvation from spiritual death. I believe Muhammad purposely did not mention this 10th plague, which is very important in Moses' writing, as Muhammad intentionally removed the mentioning of the offering of sacrifices throughout the rewriting of the stories of the Bible in the Quran. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible clearly states that God covered their nakedness with animal skin, and that was the first sacrifice, which can be seen in Genesis 3:21. However, Muhammad did not mention this in his writings in the Quran. The sons of Adam each offered an offering. It was accepted from Abel, but it was rejected from Cain. Abel offered a blood sacrifice, but Cain offered the fruit of the land as seen in Genesis 4:3-5. Once again, Muhammad, when he rewrites the story of the sons of Adam, he disregarded these facts. So it was in Noah's story in Genesis 8:20-21. The first thing Noah did when he came out of the ark was to build an altar and offer a sacrifice. But Muhammad disregarded this important section. So it was the case with the stories of Job, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As we read their accounts in the Bible, they always offered sacrifices. But Muhammad disregarded such worship, which was a picture of the true sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This last plague was the foundation for the true delivering, not only for the Jewish people from slavery of Egypt, but also for the delivering of humanity from the slavery of sin. It was on the day of Passover when Jesus was offered as the Passover sacrifice for mankind. Coincidence? I think not. Sadly, our Muslim friends do not know Moses' Passover story or the fulfillment of the great events of Christ's sacrifice.
Amen. We'll stop here for our study. Literally, I do not have so much to read or to add to that which is written. Not because I'm so arrogant and I'm so prideful of my writing and I got it all right. No, because the Bible speaks for itself. When we read the verses of the Quran, we have to search for an answer. What does Allah mean by the frog? What does Allah mean by the lice or the less of fruit? What do you mean less of fruit for years? We're talking about one night of ice breaking all the creature, breaking all the stuff in the field. And then the locust come and ate the rest of it. It's a 2 nights, not years. Years, my foot. Muhammad was making up stuff. So when you read the Quran, you need to read the Muslim scholar interpretation. And I love to read Muslim scholar interpretation because all we start with the famous statement, scholars disagree, interpreters disagree. And they give you 10 different opinions. And you choose which one you like. And then, and Allah knows best. When I read the Bible, I don't know, why do I need interpretation of the Bible?
That's right.
You're reading a biblical account, things happen. God tell Moses, go and tell him do this, and it's going to happen in the day, and Moses did it, and God did it. And then Moses go back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, okay, I'll let you go. But this time, you leave your wife and your kids. No. Oh, okay, that's my offer now. Okay, so another flag. Okay, you can go with your wife and your kids, but leave your stuff in your home and leave your animals. No. And back and forth, same flag. And then is the last time he told Moses, as we said a minute ago, don't you dare come back again to my house. Sure, sir, you'll not see my face again. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay? So the Bible does not need it to be. But when you read the story of the plagues in the Bible, do you really need to read some interpretation to it?
I think the only time you have to an interpretation, though, I don't get that part where you need.
If you can't read English,
if you can't read it or what?
If you are 10 years old and you can read English or whatever language, and you don't need your mama and your papa to help you. We need the Quran. No, what I added to my book is I tried to tie the powerful, mighty hand of God to show that the God we Egyptian worship will love God. because they could not stop what Moses did. Yes, the sorcerers were able to make snakes out of the stick. Snake of Aaron or Moses swallowed it. It ate them like chicken eating corn, okay? It was over. So, and then a little bit later, we see, no, Pharaoh, we cannot help you now. Why? Because that's the hand of God, or the fingers of God. And more on, one of the ones, and not one of our gods can return this or turn it off. It's over. The mighty hand of God. But besides what I added about the different gods we worship, I don't think you need my book. Just read the one.
Well, I would like you to tell people where and what this book is so they can get the book, because it is very, very fascinating. There you go. Awesome.
What is the truth about the Quran that I've written? Actually, there are two volumes. So they look like these two together. Okay?
Yes.
These two together. Okay. And 41 chapters. You can have them as an e-book. You can have them as a book like that. We're glad to send it to you. Read. I mean, it's good to know, you know, we did Joseph before. I think we did Joseph. Yeah. And now we're doing Moses. I'll pick up 3 or 4 ones to do in the future, but you need to read the whole book. I'm not going to read the first chapters.
Yeah, and you can get that from your website at thestraightway.org, where they can order the e-book or the hard copy books, and they're fascinating.
But I think it'll be ridiculous for us to read 41 chapters for the people.
We can't
just do that. To get your appetite. You know, I want to read more. I want to know more. Get the book and read and study. All right. Do we have any questions in the chat room for the next few, whatever minutes we have for the
book? Put it up there if anybody could ask a question. Anybody have any questions? Please do post them right now. That would help. We have, in a few minutes, we're going to start a video. If you have a question during that time, please post as well. Usama is definitely willing to answer your questions.
Especially our dear Muslim friend.
Here we go. Here's one. Yeah. All right.
Our dear Muslim friend, you got a good 10 minutes.
True. Carmel, what is the significance of midnight in the 10th plague? Why midnight?
Because they have to be ready early in the morning, going to travel and going through. This is like the last meal. They're going to eat before they hit the road. Midnight, that's when the angel of the Lord will come through straws, the land of Egypt. And when he saw the blood, he went by. If he didn't see the blood, the firstborn, human or animal, in that house is dead. It's the last meal. I think they didn't even sleep. They start traveling up and down. When they start, when the Egyptians saw the powerful hands, mighty hand of God, and how many of this was a house in Egypt did not have a funeral. Because you got a firstborn every house, and you got a firstborn of every camel or every sheep or every cow or every water buffalo. I mean, all these creatures, they were firstborn of everything. So the Egyptian was mourning, crying, weeping, and then we told you so, and then the Hebrews asked the Egyptian to give me some of your, you know, some gifts or something. Oh, take all the gold, take all the clothes, take all the silver, and get out of our land. Please get out of our land. Obviously, you can live the story by reading the Exodus account. Midnight, last meal, eat at night, because up as that, they're going to travel, they're going to walk. And they walk for days.
And he said maybe midnight's the beginning of a new day.
Actually, biblically, the new day starts with the sunset.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Because in the Bible, the day starts with evening.
Yeah. When they get dark, it's a new day. Any other questions? By the way, when we say any question, it doesn't have to be about our study. You can ask any question about anything. There's no problem. So feel free to. Okay. Well, get your video ready, Brother Paul. And you guys are going to have 10 minutes. And then obviously our friends on the radio station are going to say goodbye to us. But we'll continue in this broadcast. If you have any questions, if any Muslim would like to argue about what we talked about so far in the biblical account of Moses or the nonsensical Quran verses, we're very happy to talk to any Muslim. Just come on and we'll just... We'll give you the link and argue with us. Debate me. All right? Debate Paul. Debate Christy. I mean, we're straight here ready to have a nice conversation, nice argument, nice debate hopefully and prayerfully that by the time you finish arguing with us, you'll find yourself lost in Islam and you come to know Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's close our program. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you both. I hope the video will play as Brother Paul is getting it ready.
All right. And here we go.
Amen.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. I said, the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. Remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the messiah was paid 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously. And he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by their good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really?
Not bad, eh?
Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Oh, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall into the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. You find out you need a savior. The list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, oh, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side, put your law on that side, and I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know? Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own word that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. and receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that if whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen. I hope that some people who watch this video examine their heart